It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
After an illustrious week on FM Talk 106.5 and across the nation with his radio show, Paul Feinbaum joins us on this Friday. Paul, how has the week treated you?
It has been a week to remember. I was just starting in radio 40 years ago when we last encountered Vanderbilt beating Alabama, and that was a disastrous season. Let's hope this one isn't.
Yeah, what a wild game! And I want to talk about that game, Paul. But my question for you is, how soon do you go from being Paul Feinbaum watching a football game, enjoying what you're watching most of the time, some of the time? When does that switch flip to where you go, the calls on Monday are going to be insane? Yeah, and when did that switch flip for you during that Bama game?
Yeah, I mean, my problem with that was I had flown home from Texas, got home early in the fourth quarter, and my wife is a big Alabama fan. And she's cheering for Alabama, and then it suddenly dawned on her that she also has a degree from Vanderbilt. So once she was convinced Vanderbilt was going to win, then she completely went Commodore on me.
Is that right?
I wasn't thinking about the radio in because I was convinced. I mean, even as Diego Fabio was spiking the ball, I was still thinking, yeah, I know they're down double two scores, but Alabama will still figure out a way to win. Mm-hmm. It was only when they were shaking hands that I realized and that we were in for quite a week. And then the text started coming and the tweets, Feinbaum show, and you just and then what you get into is, can we live up to the hype? I kept telling my producers, guys, calm down. I've been down this road before. You can't force it. And but fortunately, the show lived up to it. We got the calls that we absolutely had to have. Otherwise, we wouldn't be the Feinbaum show.
I think you got – who's the old guy that's always drinking all the beer? Maybe he doesn't do that now because of his health.
You're a legend?
No, oh, Larry.
Larry.
Yeah, Larry, thank you.
So Larry, he was not kind to you at all.
Yeah, he quit the show for about the 25th time. And he quit because Stephen A. and I were on Monday – crashing the bore, and I don't think Larry has figured out yet that Alabama lost.
well, you wouldn't know it talking to some Bama fans around here. It's just they haven't mentioned it since Saturday. Is that the worst loss for Alabama ever? Is that fair to ask?
I think it is, and it was interesting. Sunday morning, I was on SportsCenter, and they were trying to get me to say that. And I just wasn't quite sure. I needed. It's the kind of thing that you just can't make. You have to start thinking. There were worse losses in terms of consequence. I mean, the kick six was that was the DEFCON 1. That cost Alabama a national championship. This one just shattered the mystique. And I'll tell you a quick story. You may have heard of this guy. We have a guy named Brandon who's I've met this guy before. He's a pressure washer, which, you know, is a tough job. Mm-hmm. But he's proud of it, as he should be. And he calls himself the Nick Saban of pressure washer.
Yeah, I can think I heard him.
Yeah, so after Alabama beat Georgia, he started calling me. He said, "Hey, I'm the Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer of pressure washing." Monday, he said, "I am no longer the Kalen DeBoer of pressure washing."
That's how
bad it was. And then Legend had the call that has now gone viral. Mm-hmm. That it's like coming home and finding out your wife, ran off with the neighbor. He said, "He said." He said, "Kalen DeBoer, you can win a natty, and I still won't trust you." That said it all.
Yeah, that does say it all. And Paul, if they had lost, they could have easily, without Ryan Williams on their roster, they probably lose to Georgia the week before. That would have been one of the worst losses ever because of the points that Georgia fell behind.
I think you're right just blowing that lead, but you could have still said, well, it's against Georgia, but I've said this 100 times this week. I'll say it the rest of my life. there is just something about losing to Vanderbilt. Yeah. Every high school has a rival that you can't lose to. And somebody said, I was on one of the network, the cable network shows the other day, this erudite professor said, well, it's a little bit like the homecoming queen dumping the captain of the football team and the quarterback for some nerdy science project winner. We can talk all we want about how far Vanderbilt's program has come. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the approach of Alabama fans.
Yeah. And you've stated it that way, just the optics of it being Vandy, the doormat of the SEC for 100 years in Alabama, the champion of the SEC for 100 years.
Yeah, it's absolutely something else. You know, as a Tennessee fan, I have been through those Vandy losses before, and they aren't fun to take at all. And sometimes it necessitates a coaching change. That's not coming to Alabama. But Tennessee, another top five team who fell to an unranked opponent on the road this weekend. I wasn't feeling too well watching that game Saturday night, Paul, and watching the game itself didn't make me feel any better. I just keep wondering, I don't know, Heupel seems to kind of just be waiting on his defense to win games. We saw it with Oklahoma. We saw it there with Arkansas.
He doesn't trust Nico right?
Is there a trust issue between Heupel and Nico, you think?
There could be. And I have to tell you, my personal feelings on that game, by the time that game started to go south for Tennessee, I just said to myself, I don't have time for this. I mean, I can't deal with a Tennessee loss right now on top of an Alabama loss. So I really haven't. I've refused to think about the Tennessee game, guys. I mean, you're right. The Oklahoma game was a little bit of an outlier because Tennessee is just a bad road team. I don't know why that is. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Heupel is such a good offensive mind that he tends not to trust his own quarterbacks very much. He didn't do it last year with Joe Milton, and for good reason. And I think he's very skittish on Nico, and he better figure out a way to get right quickly, because I'm not overly concerned about Florida at home, but the next week is going to be maybe the entire season on the line.
Yeah, that's Alabama, right?
That's right.
So as a Georgia guy, I'm watching Auburn play Georgia, and it's the first time I really watched an entire Auburn game this year. And I'm thinking to myself, they're not bad. Like, they're pretty good. They're hanging around. It was 14-10 in the third quarter. Eventually Georgia pulls away and wins. But there's just something is missing there. And they didn't have a ton of it wasn't like the obvious turnovers or the pick six. But there's what is missing with Auburn to make them a winning team?
Yeah, watching Georgia Saturday, they're just kind of an ugly team. Mm-hmm. And part of it is they don't have the dynamic receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I don't know why they don't have that. That's all we hear about is how great the recruiting there is. But if you put Ryan Williams on that team, which was always a possibility, or you get another one of these receivers, mm-hmm. then suddenly, and I think that's what Carson Beck is missing. He's got a good running back, but I mean, what was so interesting is I felt like Georgia didn't look good at all, and then they still beat Auburn by 18, and it seemed disappointing.
Exactly. And on the Auburn side, something's just not quite right. Is it Hugh Freeze?
Well, and then you had Hugh Freeze going after his quarterback again.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that he was supposed to hand the ball off on a certain play and pulled it. Every game, Hugh Freeze has had something to say about the quarterback play.
Yep. Yeah, because Hugh Freeze can't admit that he has shortcomings. I mean, it's really getting irritating, and I'm losing faith in Hugh Freeze. I know four losses really shouldn't be a surprise, but just back your quarterback. You're the guy who went all in on this guy.
Yeah.
By the way, you could have had Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
He beat you last year, and you didn't even try to get him. And frankly, I talked to Diego earlier in the week, and nobody really wanted him.
Wow, so, that's something! Wow.
Hugh Freeze just continues to dig himself deeper into a hole, and a couple more losses, and that hole is going to be pretty suffocating.
It seems that way. Well, and you also had the big A&M blowout win over Missouri. Kind of running out of time to talk about that one. That was certainly surprising to some folks. But big games coming up this weekend, Paul. And for the first time, the Red River rivalry is an SEC game.
We get
number 1 Texas, number 18 Oklahoma in Jerry's world. Should be a big one Saturday.
Yeah, I'm on my way out to that one. And it just feels so weird going to Dallas for an SEC game. And I realize A&M have played Arkansas there, but just OU Texas has always been one of those games. I mean, as a kid, it was still a game that you watched whether you really knew anything about the teams or not. It's one of the most defining games. And people keep warning me about the food. It's right in the middle of the state fair.
Ah.
I'm told don't eat.
That's pretty blunt.
Yeah, there should be a cardiologist on duty at all times with all the fried. I mean, it's fried ice cream, it's fried everything out there in Texas.
Well, there'll probably be some great food in Baton Rouge. They're kind of known for that kind of thing up the road from New Orleans, and it looks like it could be a very interesting football game. Ole Miss, after a win at South Carolina against LSU.
Yeah, I think this is the most important game of the weekend in the SEC because the winner of this game is in good shape. And I know this sounds cliche to say the loser is in trouble, but it is. If Ole Miss loses, that's two conference games. That means they also have Georgia ahead. And you hate to have to play Georgia in November as a must win, but that would be exactly the situation. LSU is not in great shape either. They lost to Southern Cal. The pressure, I think, is on Lane Kiffin here because he bounced back against South Carolina. I really don't know what that means, bouncing back against South Carolina. This team was a top five team a week ago, and now it's reeling.
Yeah, and this game should be decided by coaching, right? I mean, we're in the middle of the season. No more surprises. Everyone knows.
Well, you have Lane Kiffin against Paul Feinbaum's best friend.
Yeah, Brian Kelly.
Brian Monday afternoon Kelly.
We were joking that if Kelly loses this game, we might have to cancel on Monday.
He's become your Monday staple, though, right?
Yeah, but it's gotten so awkward. I mean, we started doing this thinking he'd be in a national championship every year, but we weren't expecting that to sweat games out. It's pretty awkward that when you're, hey, coach, welcome in. Just another tough loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a tough conversation.
Tough one to have, for sure.
You can hear the audience just tuning out.
Well, you have Bama at home, South Carolina. I guess Gamecocks probably won't provide too much resistance to the Tide, but we didn't think that about Vanderbilt last week either.
Yeah, I fully listen. I'm naive. I think Alabama will bounce back, but I didn't think last week would be a real challenge either. Mm-hmm. But so this is what's really tough about this game. It's an 11 o'clock start, and I don't know about you guys, but who in the world wants to go to a football game at 11 o'clock in the morning, especially when you're kind of down from the previous week? So that's a big negative. And I think the most important thing is what will Kalen DeBoer be wearing?
He caught it for
a while. I had somebody text me last week and say, did he get that T-shirt at Bucky's on the way to the game?
Yeah, a lot of talk about his T-shirt. Maybe to kind of split the criticism, he goes collared shirt, sleeveless. I don't know, maybe something like that to get both fans of the kind of more casual wear and the more business casual there on the sidelines. Well,
then you look like the meat guy at Winn-Dixie. So I don't know if he dressed like the butcher.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind you wearing a shirt, but I mean, get the right size. It looks like like first time you ever washed clothes for yourself in college, and your T-shirt shrank three sizes.
Oh man! And last game to get to, Paul, real quick before we let you go. Tennessee, also coming off that loss, at least they're at home this week, but a big rivalry game against Florida. There's going to be some real issues in Knoxville if they lose another one to the Gators.
Yeah, this might be one of the most underwhelming Florida-Tennessee games I can ever remember. In the 90s, this literally was the game of the year in the SEC, and even after that. But Billy Napier is kind of breathing again after, you know, beating two very average teams. This would save his job. If Josh Heupel loses, he might be the coach on the hot seat.
Could be.
Amazing the way this happens.
Yeah.
It's amazing the week to week. I don't think anybody's great. I don't think, you know, well, you know, I think Georgia's got a lot of flaws. Alabama obviously isn't perfect. It's just going to be an interesting season because every week you can't turn your head away from any game because an upset could happen.
No, the last couple weeks have been really extraordinary. And it's all because of upsets, and there's a million reasons why emotion transfer. But I think the transfer portal is probably the biggest reason.
All right, Paul, we really appreciate your time again this week. Means so much for us that you take time out of your week to answer these questions and have a conversation with us. So thanks again, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
It's always great, guys. See you next week.
Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Feinbaum right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. And it's all brought to you by Bryant Bank.
Bryant Bank.
Yeah.
That's right. We appreciate Bryant Bank for sponsoring this. They've been doing it for some time now. And we always appreciate our conversation with Paul Feinbaum. Coming up, more Mobile Mornings on the way.